So where conservation dollars are used is, of course, always a tricky question. Things like the SDGs and the Aichi targets are intended to help us target our conservation action in places that are globally agreed upon and spend it in ways that international entities have sort of charted out. But we've learned that protected areas, although they're vital for conserving large intact wilderness, are not the only way that conservation can happen, right? Right now, protected areas altogether, such as national parks, cover about 15% of Earth's land area. In the ocean, it's a lot less. Remember that MPAs only protect about 5% of the world's oceans currently, and much less of it is in no-take. But the majority of remaining habitat in the world is on private land. So, in the US, for example, over half of our forests are held by about 11 million different landowners. So, to continue to conserve biodiversity in the future, it's going to be essential that we work with individual landowners and communities that own communal lands. So, do you recall the strengths and weaknesses of private protected forests that we've talked about earlier in this class? Do you recall the strengths and weaknesses of private protected forests? Well, you might remember that some of the strengths are that they can be often quite small, but they can protect critical areas. So they can protect these really important critical areas that are small in size. But small size is also a weakness, right? Small size means they're often very easy to manage, and it can be a strength that there's no government involvement, especially sometimes in the US, it's even a strength, but certainly in other countries that have very corrupt or unreliable or broke governments, that it's a plus that there's no government involvement in a private landowner's affairs. And another benefit, of course, another strength is that the management is local and it keeps the destiny of that land in private hands and with local people deciding what should be done rather than imposing it from the outside. Of course, the weaknesses include you need committed landowners who are willing to give up their land for conservation. And usually you need some kind of incentives and legal framework. In fact, for conservation on private lands to be effective, there really are these two big requirements. One being that landowners usually require some incentive for setting their land aside for conservation rather than using it for some other purpose. And second is that because private lands can change hands frequently, owners can buy and sell, or an owner could die. There must be some legally binding agreement that assures the protection of the area will last beyond the current landowner.